Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, it's that time. You are listening to the PRF Table. I am Brother Dunlap. We have also with us Sister Sanders, Brother Feaster. How y'all doing this evening?
Great.
I am doing fabulous.
Well, it's 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We are so glad that you've taken your time out of your schedule to join with us and just have a seat at the table. We have a guest for you this evening that is really going to blow your socks off. As everybody knows, we have been talking about tithing in one shape, form, or another over the last several weeks. And tonight, the subject of tonight's discussion at the table is, should you stop paying tithes? And let me say up front, it is amazing the hate mail that I keep getting on this subject. Why is that? Every week I'm getting some hate mail. I'm getting taken off more and more people's lists or having requests for it. But it's amazing that the more people that I get asking to be taken off of the list of being contacted about the show, the more God sends to us. So we had 27 new people that decided that they wanted to be a part of the discussion just in the last couple of days. So we're thankful for the ones who do not want to be a part and so grateful for the ones that do decide that they want to be a part. As everybody knows, if this is your first time listening, just to give you a little background of who we are and what we do, this is a show. And PRF talks about possessions, resources, and finances. And this is not a show just about money, but it's about how your possessions, how your resources, and how your finances are all interconnected, just like we are all interconnected as God's people, Jew, Gentile, black, white, Christian, gay, straight. I know that's going to get some of my religious folk, whatever. But that's just the way it is. Everything is connected, interconnected or interconnected. And we are really just about being led by God to discuss the topics that God wants us to talk about the things that some of your churches may not want to talk about, may not have people equipped to talk about, or there may be some instances of pride where they don't want to have these conversations come up because it affects them personally in a way more so than it blesses the people of God. So, Brother Feaster, let's just let you start it off. We're going to start off with just talking a little bit about where we stem from last week, because at the end of the show, Brother Feaster, I do remember something that you started talking about with giving and tithing. And really, that really kind of takes us into where we're trying to go this evening. So if you can just give us a recap of where we are, where we were last week, any comments you want to make before we get started, and then Adia, I'll come to you, and then we'll go ahead and get ready to introduce our guests. Amen?
Amen. I have really been enlightened by a lot of things that we've discussed over the last couple of weeks, talking about stewardship and truth and tithing. And it's no surprise that you are getting a lot of hate mail and people requesting to be deleted, because like I noticed a couple of weeks ago, and like I said every week, this is a very sensitive subject. I mean, we have a lot of people that are simply just paying tithes out of obligation or just out of this is the norm and not even understand what God said in his word and what the requirement and all that good stuff and why it was established. And I was faithfully giving, not paying, giving of my tithes and really didn't even understand it, and I'm getting a better understanding of it now. But we started off first just talking basically about what is tithes. You know, we talked about down scriptures and, you know, some of the things that are saying in churches. And the one thing about that one was the one lady that called in, and she just felt like she had to give a tithe, and she didn't want to come to church if she didn't have a tithe. And that bothers me, because somebody else even posted on Facebook about that. It bothers me when people feel that God values the money more than he values the relationship with the particular individual, with the person. And then we had my cousin, Pastor Scher, get on, and he talked about how he discontinued tithing in his church, and he promoted giving as opposed to tithing. And he got a lot of controversy. He got a lot of people telling him not to do it and don't do it. You know what's going to happen and this and that, this and that. But he went ahead and he was obedient to what God had put on his heart. And I asked him, you know, well, how did it all turn out? Or, you know, and this, and he mentioned that it's not about the time. It was about the relationship with God. And then we talked last week about discontinuing tithes again. It's tithing for the New Testament church. And we found out that the Bible does not say anything against it, so it continues on. But it's more of giving than it is tithing. It's not a burdensome, you know, there's a difference between giving your tithe and paying your tithe. It's, you know, tithing is not a bill. It is something the Bible speaks in the New Testament of being a cheerful giver, and a lot of people are paying their tithes and they're not cheerful. And that's what we came up with last week. And the thing that really has struck me over this past couple of weeks is that stewardship is all a correction. Tithing is all about stewardship. God doesn't need nor wants your money. He wants your love. He wants your obedience. And that's what it's about. It's about being a good steward. And that's just a recap of what we've talked about over the past couple of weeks with tithing. And I'm kind of very excited about today's topic today also.
Thank you. Thank you. Sister Sanders, what's on your mind?
I just think it's very important that we continue to educate people. And I was sharing with a friend of mine about I actually put on Facebook, just shared it on my page about tonight's show. And I got back a text, and it was like, all in all caps, out tithing, like, what are you talking about? Stop paying tithing, your tithe, what are you talking about? And as I began to share with my friend and my sister, and I hope she gets on the call tonight, as I began to share with her, I said, well, check out the Facebook page. And when you read it, I said, reply back to me and then tell me if you understand what I put on there about stop paying tithes. And so she did, and she texted me back, and she said, I get it. But only when people are educated, only when they come into the revelation knowledge of information can we get it. And I was reading in a book, it was just basically talking about how sometimes we don't receive stuff, or most people can't receive their deliverance or walk their deliverance out because we're so used to people telling us something. You know, if it's coming from our parents, if it's coming from a teacher or the pastor or, you know, the TV or something. But when we take the time to read for ourselves what it is that we need to read and to learn it, then can we receive what that information is giving us? And a lot of times we miss out on that because we're going off of what people say. So we get used in getting that to that mundane routine to where, you know, oh, I'm paying my tithes. And God never said anything about paying him anything. And so my friend began to say, I told her, I said, how can we pay God anything? And she said, you're right. She said, we can't pay him something when he owns everything. I said, now you got it. And so if anything, when it's the knowledge, it's our training, it's being educated and not just using, like we've talked about, the famous beat you over the head before offering time scripture that we use, will a man rob God? Well, yes, people will rob God. They do it every single day. But it's not just in our tithes and our offering that we're robbing God. So I just find it just a privilege that where we can come into this forum and in this setting and bring people our experiences and give people what God has given us and the dialogue and the conversations that we're having, even if it's coming via hate mail or via text messages or people unfriending us, is when everybody begins to agree and on one accord that we probably should begin to question, because some things that we're going to say may not sound right. But if you can go to the book, if you can fall on your knees and ask God to give you the revelation knowledge of what's being said, I think that we would be able to live in harmony with one another because we would understand that we're not giving information to hurt people, but we're giving them information to challenge the very thing, the very thoughts that they've been living off of for so many years, that they can come into the knowledge and really just benefit, be daily loaded with God's benefits, as he says in his word and Psalms. And that's all I have right now.
That's good. And one thing that you said was really, really key, and I really want everybody to hear this, is you said, Adia, that it's about educating people. It's about training. And I know for a fact that there are a lot of people that are comfortable where they are. So let me just say this disclaimer, as Pastor Sherb would say, I'm not trying to change you. Adia is not trying to change your mindset. The name of this show tonight is Should You Stop Paying Tithes? Question mark. This is what I say. Somebody put your phone on mute. We got a lot of feedback, please. If you're not willing to ask a question about God's word, what does that say about your faith? Do you remember a couple of weeks ago there was a pastor who had called in on the line, and this pastor had said that he remembers dealing a little bit with questioning this thing about tithing, this notion of tithing. But he read some stuff and then he just stopped. Y'all remember that? He said he just stopped because it was starting to challenge the very core of his being. That doesn't mean it was of the enemy. That could have meant it was of God saying, okay, you have been taught this all your life. I'm trying to take you somewhere. I'm trying to show you something a little bit different. Not that you're not supposed to tithe, but maybe there's something else that I'm trying to get you to see, especially as a pastor, to be able to communicate that to your people. So I know this brother very well, this pastor, and I know he's still dealing and wrestling with this whole notion of tithing, and we just ask that God just do what he wants to do in this instant and in his life. So let me tell you how we got to this point today. When we were having the discussion about discontinuing tithing, and when Pastor Sherd, who was on the line, talked about that, you know, I started doing a little bit of research myself, and I started reaching out and started typing in words on the computer, and I pulled up something, and I saw something online that said stop paying tithes. And I saw there was a lady who had a book entitled just that, Stop Paying Tithes. And so I started reading it, and I said, wow. I said, the title of the book, and hear me close, the title of the book says Stop Paying Tithes. But that's not what it's about. It's not about stop paying tithes as in stop giving to God, and we'll talk about that later. It's stop doing it in a certain way, so I'm not going to just spoil it for everybody. Let me go ahead and just tell you about who we have with us today. We have with us Sister Paula Brooks. She said we can call her Paula, and we appreciate that. Paula lives up in the Atlanta area. She's from New Orleans. The thing about her is she's looking to improve the struggling lives of people financially by teaching people just something very, very simple, teaching them the principle of giving with a cheerful heart. And when I saw a little bit about her book online, and I quickly ordered it, and we'll pass that information along, or she can do that as we bring her on. And I started realizing that it's time for us to leave this area of tithing at the table and start pushing on to giving. And let me tell you, I sent out the text as I normally do every single week, and it was a question. The title of the show is, Should You Stop Paying Tithes? And somebody texted me back and said, no. And I said, well, maybe you want to just listen to the show. And they said, why do I need to listen? Because I already know what I'm going to do. I said, okay. And this is what I thought about. I thought about us being those of us who are Christians, those of us who are ministers. We are supposed to be disciples of Christ. Mm. And disciples of Christ means that you are a learner of Christ. Y'all know I'm not that deep, y'all. A learner of Christ. Whenever you or I get to a point where we have calling ourselves learned, L-E-A-R-N-E-D, that means there's no more room for learning. That means you know it all. I really think it's going to be hard for God to use you in the ways that he's trying to use you. When you have learned it all, then there's nothing else that God can deposit into your life. So with that, we're going to go to our guest tonight, Sister Paula Brooks. How are you doing this evening?
I'm great. How are you all?
We are excited that you are over.
I'm excited to share with everybody tonight what God has shared with me. Initially, when God began speaking to me regarding the tithe, it wasn't about a book. It was about my experience. And I started writing these things down. I write down every conversation that God and I have, basically. I was married at the time, and my husband said, Paula, you need to share that. You need to write a book. And it really became my therapy. So once I wrote the book, I was content and satisfied. And so I said, okay, I have this manuscript. What am I going to do with it? I felt like it was just for me because I had been a tither all my life. And someone got a hold of my manuscript, and they said, you got to publish this. So I published the book, and once again, I was satisfied with that. I had made a major accomplishment. And about 10 years or so later, someone else actually read my book, and they didn't know me at the time. It was a doctor, and she called me because my number is in the back of the book, and she says, Paula, you don't know me, but you have to share this with the world. And I said, oh, my goodness.
Right.
So I republished it in 2009, and here I am. So I do understand that God didn't just give me this word for me. It is for his body, because he does want all of us to be blessed financially.
Right.
His promise is that Christ came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. And what better way to give to God than to be happy about the abundance that he gives to us.
Right. Amen. Well, before we go into it, let me just share a couple housekeeping items. So those of you who are on the line, you can press 1 on your dial pad if you want to join into the conversation, if you want to ask Paula a question, ask her to clarify something, or just make a general comment. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll see you light up on the switchboard and bring you into the conversation so you can have a seat with us. If you're following us on Facebook, our Facebook page is possessions.resources.finances, and you'll see a link that we have posted on there. It'll say episode 16, should you stop paying tithes? Just go ahead and start asking questions if you want to do it online. We know a lot of people don't like to call in, and we're perfectly fine with that. Start posting your questions. We'll get to them. We'll try to answer as many as we can on the air, and we'll just keep it rolling. So with that, Sister Brooks, I got to just say I'm elated again that you're taking your time out to just come and have a seat with us at the table. So let's just get into it, if that's all right.
Definitely.
You know, one of the things that I'm thinking about is when we hear those words, if you could just start there, stop paying tithes, what do people automatically think of? What is your experience about people's perceptions of just those words, stop paying tithes? Can you tell us what message you're trying to send, or we're trying to send, or that God sent through you to us about stop paying tithes?
My experience has been initially upon meeting anyone, they automatically assume that I'm saying that Christians shouldn't tithe, and that isn't what I'm saying at all. The topic for tonight's discussion is a question, should we stop paying tithes? And my answer to that, according to what God has shared with me through his word, is that, yes, believers should stop paying tithes because God is not a debt collector. God is a loving father, and we don't pay our dads anything. We give our fathers gifts, and the tithe, as God shared with me, is given in honor of who he is and what he does. It's not a prerequisite for what we expect from God, although that has been taught. In studying my word, I understand that Abraham gave a tithe of all that God had given to him. So it was a tithe of his increase.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, Joshua petitioned God, and he said, God, if you bless me, I promise to give you a tenth of all that you blessed me with. So tithing is a way of saying, God, I acknowledge that everything I have is from you, basically.
Mm. You know, one of the things that you said, I think that we have to kind of, you know, set the tone because, again, people are real finicky. We have a lot of scary Christians out here. We have a lot of Christians that don't want to hear anything other than what they've been told, other than what they've been taught. And what she said was she's sharing according to what God has given her. And, you know, it's amazing how when God gives us, I think about the word testimonies. And so often in the church house, we only want to hear the testimonies of what God has done versus what God has shared with me. And I think that's a type of thought that we have to try to get away from if we have that. Because everybody, God is throwing something and putting something in everybody to share to somebody else. Everybody. So I don't know why we have this mindset that what we're dealing with is only for us and is not for anybody else, especially if it challenges the norm of a particular side, society, a particular culture, or my own particular church house. So I'm glad we have you on the line, Sister Brooks, because people need to hear this. In our conversation, I remember you saying that your tithing experience was you were a cheerful tither. Can you elaborate a little bit and give us, you know, give the listeners some of that from you about your experience as a cheerful tither?
Sure. Initially, when I was old enough to be aware of what I was doing, I absolutely enjoyed going to church more so to give God a portion of what he had blessed me with, whether it was a tenth of my earnings. Sometimes it was 50% of my earnings, but I was so excited about giving to God. And over the years of me being a church member, I became churched, listening to pastors and leaders say, you got to pay your tithes, you got to pay your tithes. Well, I was already giving my tithes. I was doing it cheerfully. And unbeknownst to me, those words got into me, into my spirit. And I began paying and monitoring what I was paying as opposed to giving to God. And it became rhetorical. And week by week, I found myself in a place where I was wondering, well, should I pay my tithes or should I pay my light bill or whatever bill was present? And it became a burden. But let me backtrack just a little bit because I need to say that as a result of my giving,
right,
God blessed me abundantly. And I'm not saying that blessings have to be financial, but I got to let y'all know God made me a millionaire as a result of my giving. And I know it was because he promised that he'd open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that I couldn't even handle. And that was something that I couldn't handle. I was just overjoyed.
Wow.
But at the same time, I know that it was a result of me being a cheerful giver, and it's confirmed in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Well, I'll say chapter 9, verses 7 through 10, because God says he loves a cheerful giver. But he goes on in verse 10 to say that he will minister seed to that person that gives cheerfully. He tells us not to give grudgingly or of necessity, and I find that so many people give saying, okay, God, I'm going to give you this, but I need that there back. You can't do
right.
that to God.
That's right.
You can't bargain God. He already knows what you need. So, in essence, what I said that to say that verse confirmed that God blessed me because I was happy about my giving. However, once my mindset changed and I was converted from a giver to a payer, I got to tell y'all, God took, well, he didn't take it, but he allowed every penny to be removed from my bank account.
Wow.
And I'm cheerful even about that because I got a lesson from it. I got a book from it to share with you all because God, when it happened that way, I sat back and I said, God, what's going on? And he said to me, Paula, take a look and evaluate what you've been doing and how you've been doing it.
Wow.
And he brought me back to remember when I first initially began as a tither and how cheerful I was to the place that I presently was at that time where tithing had become a burden. And I said, wow. So I started to write those things down. And God brought me from Genesis to the New Testament, letting me know of my error. And I got to share with you guys that my book demonstrates chapter to chapter, scripture upon scripture, that God loves a cheerful giver. If we want to look at Genesis for a moment, I often wondered why God blessed Abel in his giving, but Cain was cursed. If we look at that, we'll see that Abel gave to God with a willing heart, but Cain counted what he had to give to God, and he wasn't so happy about it. He did it because he thought that that was the obligation he was supposed to stand up to. He felt like that was what he was supposed to do. And that's why so many of us tithe today, because we feel like it's an obligation. But it's not an obligation. It's actually our gift of appreciation back to God.
That's it.
God doesn't want it if we feel like it's an obligation, because once again, he's not a debt collector. He's a loving father, and he wants us to give to him lovingly.
Let me tell you, you got Brother Feast over there quiet, you got Sister Sanders over there quiet, but we have a caller that is on the line that has pressed one on their dial pad, so let's see what they want to say, if they have a question or comment. So caller, you have the last four of 3829. Have a seat at the table. You're on the air. Caller from 3829, it's your last four. Maybe they pressed it by accident. Brother Feaster, did you have anything?
I'm sitting here just taking it all in, and a lot of things that have been said is really getting me, because, it's funny how some things I've known but didn't know what I knew. You know, you just do things just to be doing it. And years ago I stopped saying paying tithes because I didn't think that tithing was a bill. And I it never dawned on me about the cheerful giver. I really never made the connection. I just always said tithing is not a bill. Most people are paying a bill when it comes to church. And so I wrote down a question after y'all was talking, and I asked the question, is it tithing if it becomes burdensome?
Wow.
Because just my personal experience, it's never been a burdensome, and I just thank God it's never really been a burdensome. It was the only thing burden for me was giving the tithes, just getting to know and doing it faithfully. That was the first part. But it's never been burdensome, so I don't understand the answer to this, but what I understand about the Bible and God's commandment, I'm actually looking for it. What I understand is the Bible says that God says that my laws are not burdensome. So with that being said, the tithing should not be a burden. The Bible also says that my burdens are easy. My burden is light.
Right.
So even there is some burden, but it's not burdensome. So I really believe in my heart now, after these couple of lessons, that if we are paying the tithes, then we are not paying the tithes. If we are religiously writing this check and contemplating, you know, do I cut back on my groceries, or do I how much of my light bill do I pay, or do I you know, am I going to do this or am I going to do that? And the Bible says that, you know, if you're doing it grudgingly, he don't want it. And the other thing, when the churches get up there and they start talking about, you know, we got to pay the lights. And we got, now you're paying it out of necessity. And I think then it is no longer a tithe. Then it is not a tithe. So there are a lot of people that are paying a tithe or giving money thinking that they are fulfilling what God is saying or what they really believe in their heart. And the sad part is they're not. And the worst part about it is the people that are closed-minded and really don't want to pay attention to what's going on, but they just close their mind and don't want to even try to get a better understanding. But it was just amazing to me when I wrote that question down, is it tithing when it becomes burdensome?
Wow.
And that's just phenomenal for me, because now if we look at it like that, if we really look at it like that, that if it becomes burdensome, it's not a tithe, then maybe that'll challenge us to really understand what we're doing. And I really believe that a lot of Christians feel that they can't question God, and that is a problem. That's a problem. There's so many people within the Bible that question God.
Mm-hmm.
And phenomenal people of God and in God, and did phenomenal things, and they question God, you know. So I'm glad you got this show, Jay. I'm glad you came up with this. I'm taking it personal. This has been very enlightening for me, and that's why I'm confessing right now.
Hey, don't put that on me. Put that on God. You know, this is, you know, I don't sit back every day saying, what am I going to talk about next week on the show? What am I going to talk about this week? You know, I promise y'all, it doesn't flow like that. You know, God is doing this. The Holy Spirit is leading and guiding this. I can honestly say that there has not been one show since we started this journey back in 2012 that has been me sitting around the dinner table, us sitting down at the PRF table or whatever, coming up with topics of discussion. I just don't have it like that. It's really about, okay, God, what do you want for your people? And as long as we do that, you know, we give God all the credit for that. But go ahead, Sister Adia. I know you've been waiting to jump on in.
Well, one thing, I love all of the points that you've spoke on so far, Paula. And when you were talking about, you know, what the pastor said, you know, how you went from being a cheerful giver to now it was a burden to you. Mark, I guess I wanted to ask this question. Was it the fact that they were using the word specifically paying your tithes to, you know, that phrase itself that began to bring on to where, like, giving your tithes was a burden? Was it that specifically?
Well, I believe that words create action. And so as long as I had the mindset of giving, it wasn't a burden because I always had enough for everything. But once I began paying, so yes, I will say that it was that word. Once I started paying my tithes and that became that became my thought process. I got to pay my tithes. I got to pay my tithes. No, if you say it enough, it becomes what you believe. So I was no longer believing and giving. I was now paying, and I had forgot all about the fact that I was a giver. But it made my life a little more difficult financially because I was contemplating, what should I pay? Should I pay my bill or should I pay my tithe first? Because, you know, the pastor always says, if you think that you can't afford to pay your tithe, you actually can't afford not to, because God is going to bless you for paying your tithes. Well, I understand now that through my journey with God, I understand now that God blessed me because he loves me and because I appreciate and love him. And even if I didn't love him, he still would bless me. So it has nothing to do with my money or my payment to him, but everything to do with my love for him. So it goes back to what I heard on last week's show. It's about relationship. And if you have a relationship with God, you're going to want to give to him anyway.
You know, one of the things Go ahead.
I would say that I lost that relationship with God when I started paying tithes because I was focusing more so on what I was told to do as opposed to what I felt led to do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And, you know, it's amazing that
if those who speak that we are to pay tithes, we're to pay tithes, give tithes, as Brother Fisa said, the beat down scripture, Malachi 3, 8, 9, and 10, if people keep hearing that, especially coming from the pulpit, especially coming from men and women of God, one of the things that I see is there's only going to be just that small percentage, that small portion.
Yeah.
And what we keep hearing people say over and over and over is we hear nothing but guilt, we hear nothing but condemnation over and over and over. I'm thankful to God that he's given us this forum, this table to be able to talk about it and let people know that that's not where God wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said to that older sister, if you believe in tithing, if you believe this is what God wants you to do and you don't do it, then that's being disobedient. So you should feel the beat down scripture in that sense. You should feel that conviction if that's what you believe in. But Adia, you mentioned something real key. Again, you talked about training and preparation. And when we look in the Bible, when we look at in Deuteronomy and Numbers and Leviticus, and we see God speaking, talking about tithing, he did that before they got to a place where they were going to tithe. So I'm thankful that we have this forum so people can hear this, because when people come to the body of Christ, when people join churches and now accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and then they start hearing this thing about tithing, like Brother Feaster said, and then they can't do it, something is wrong. That's when it becomes burdensome. And when it becomes burdensome, like you've already mentioned, then they start not having the type of relationship, it hinders the type of relationship that they need to have with God, because they don't feel that they're able to do what he's telling them to do. Well, doggone it, if God told the children of Israel, the Israelites, over and over and over, he gave them that instruction before they entered into the land of Canaan, where it was then become a law, then why are we not given, or why has people not been given that same latitude on earth? I'm just saying, sister. I don't know, Paula. Let me ask you this: you mentioned something about this concept of paying bills, and you mentioned the word. The words that we use, I think, are key. And when you said what you said, my thought process is this. We can't go about thinking that we can just say, well, I'm paying tithes or I'm giving tithes. As long as I'm doing it, it doesn't matter. I kind of find that a little difficult to swallow sometimes, because as Christians, we talk about the word. Everything that we talk about is the word or the words. So why is it not as equally important that we don't use the right language when we're talking about this, such as, okay, let's stop saying we're paying our tithes because we pay our bills. Let's talk about we give our tithes.
Well, I don't think people are taught to value the validity of words. Words are being substituted incorrectly all the time. And so many people link paying with giving, and they believe that if they pay their tithes, they're actually giving their tithes. But words are very important to God, because God is extremely precise.
Right. That's right.
And so pastors will tell us when we go to God in prayer, be precise about our prayers and make sure we word everything correctly at that time. But when it comes to money, it's a different story. It doesn't matter what you call it. You can call it throwing your money in an offering basket, as long as you're putting some money in there. But it is very important to give as opposed to paying. And I have a scripture here that I'd like to share with you all.
Please do.
In Exodus chapter 25, God specifically said to Moses, he said to collect particular items from the Israelites, but he said specifically, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, shall ye take my offering. So what he was saying to Moses is, don't take from those who feel that it's an obligation, but take from those who willingly give to me. And why was that? I believe that it was because when you're willing, you're giving it cheerfully.
Mm.
And the thing that pastors haven't grasped from that particular verse is, well, not just that verse, but this entire book, God, when he prompted Moses to take from those Israelites who were willing, there was an overflow. God told Moses to go back and tell the people stop giving because it was just too much. So if leaders would encourage people to give willingly because they love God, Corinthians chapter 9 will become manifest in the lives of believers all over, because when you give willingly, God makes sure you have more to give.
Mm-hmm.
And as you have more to give, you give more, and then it becomes an overflow. I don't believe that any church would be lacking or in need of anything, or any Christian, if we're taught to give willingly and with a cheerful heart, because God owns everything.
That's right.
And only he's able to give us as we give. As he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and 10, as you give, he'll give you more to give.
That's right. You know,
God
and
is amazing. If we, as we stick to his word, he'll be true to his promises.
And you know, this is what amazes me also. We like to use, or some like to use 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and it talks about giving, and I don't know if people understand what Paul was writing to them about. They were talking about giving, and their giving wasn't about giving to God so that they can get. It was given to people who had a need.
Hmm.
So I think it's important for everybody to maybe go back to 2 Corinthians, look at chapter 7, look at chapter 8, and see why they gave and why Paul was writing to them in chapter 9 talking about giving. They were giving to a cause. We ain't got time to go through it. Y'all go and read it for yourself, as your pastor may say. Go read it for yourself when you get time. But they were giving for a cause. They saw others, they heard of others giving. They said, we want to be a part of that giving. So guess what? It wasn't about even giving at home. It was about giving to others that wasn't a part of it. 2 Corinthians, look at chapter 7, look at chapter 8, and then maybe chapter 9 to start being a little bit more clear. Brother Fisa, go ahead, sir.
I got so much I want to say. I ain't sure if I'm going to get it all out. But, you know, listen to what Sister Paula said and what we've been talking about, and you know, when it becomes a burdensome, is it no longer a tithe? I started thinking about the parable of the talents. And it's just funny how this all tied in. Because, you know, just to give you a recap on the story for those that don't know, the parable of the talents is God, the steward, the owner gave three of his stewards some possessions. One he gave 10, one he gave 5, one he gave 1. And he said, when I return, I'm going to collect that which is mine. The guy with 10, he came back, and the guy with 10 doubled it, gave him 20. Said, Master, here you are, I've doubled it. The guy with 5, he said the same thing. Hey, I doubled it and gave you 5, and you gave me 5, I gave you 10. But the guy with 1 said, well, you know, I knew you were a harsh leader, and you took things that wasn't yours. And he said, so he took what he had and gave it to the man with 10. I think what's interesting about that is God took from him based on his thought, his expectation, how he felt about the situation. It had nothing to do with the money. It had everything to do with how he felt about his leader. And God took it from him and gave it to the man who had the most. And so it's like, okay, God is saying, I don't care about the money. It has nothing to do with the money. It's everything about the relationship. How he felt about his master is the reason why he buried that coin instead of then doing something productive with it. He said, the owner said, you could have at least put it in the bank and I could have got the interest off of it, but you ain't did nothing. You gave back this old dirty, nasty, I didn't even give it to you dirty shit back to me dirty. But also what I was thinking about is, and I'm looking at it from a stewardship standpoint. I mean, let's look at it at work and working for our owners and our bosses. You know, our bosses don't want to talk to the one that they may have to, but they don't want to talk to the one that's always griping and complaining. You know, so God wants us to come to him cheerfully. And you know, it's this is just blowing my mind. I wrote down so much stuff. And Sister Paula, you said something about the terminology and our words. And you are so correct. It's throughout the Bible. And if we really focus in on that, the words that we use are so powerful. They are so, so very powerful. And we really have to be selective and pay attention to what we're saying, because God even selects what he says. He doesn't say anything idly. He says everything for a purpose, and everything he says has a purpose. And those are some of the things that we really need to focus on. And I'm going to stop right there because I got so much stuff I wrote down I want to get out. But I'm going to pass the mic.
Go ahead, Adia.
I have one last question. And this is just a question that has just been on my heart. And, you know, growing up and even just in conversation with people, you see people who are in the church, they're faithful, but they're still broke. They're still living in the projects. They still don't have a good job. What do you think, or what do you see just in, you know, what God has just dealt with you on with tithing as the disconnect to people who are giving their tithes, but they still, that window is still not over their heads pouring out blessings on them?
Fear.
Mm.
Fear.
Wow.
I believe that there are many people in the church that are giving tithes and believing God for blessings, financial blessings, healing blessings, or whatever their specific request are for God, but fear of receiving those blessings can hinder that from manifesting in their lives, because God is true to his word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the word of God tells us that God be true and every man a lie. So when we see that there are people who are tithing, it's not about the tithe. Once again, it's about the relationship, as Brother Feaster said. And when you tithe and you are cheerful about it, or when you give, whatever you do, whether it's your time or a good conversation or just a smile to somebody on the street who needs it, God acknowledges what you give from your heart, and he rewards that. So those people who are in destitute places or are places where they don't want to be in life, it's not because God isn't blessing them. It's because they're not properly asserting whatever they're doing for God or on behalf of God. Because I know for myself, as I stated before, when my mindset changed, my blessings changed.
Hmm.
So it was fear in me that caused me to become a person who paid tithes as opposed to giving them. And that fear wasn't a fear or a reverence to God. It was a fear of what man would think about me if I didn't write that tithe check that week. Or if I declare that, I can't pay my tithes this week, I couldn't say that in fear of what people would think of me.
Amen.
And all that is tied to my relationship with God, because if I'm doing this for God, I really don't care what people think about me, whether it's the pastor or my husband or whoever, because God should be my source.
Yeah.
So that's my response, Sister Adria. I hope that answered your question.
Oh no, that was so perfect. It really is, because I think from that, it definitely opens up the door to where pastors and leaders need to reach the people. And if we begin to not deal with the tithing itself, but the root behind the tithing to why people aren't getting blessed, if we would, you know, I think the last time I commented that if we did a poll or took a survey of how many people understood what tithing meant, then we would be able to know that there's some other things that we need to first teach people. And like you said, you just said one simple word, and you said fear. And when we give out of fear, you know, then how can you reap the full benefits that God has for you? So I think that definitely from that, there's some more things that need to be taught. And it's definitely teaching about the spirit of fear and how it binds people. So because if I fear something, then I won't give my all. And if that's what's going on in the church, if a lot of people who are giving their tithes but not reaping the benefits that God's word said or the blessings, then it's because of that hindrance that's on the inside of them. So I thought what you said was perfect and spot on, and I thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. We have a caller that's been waiting patiently on the line, so let's see what this caller has to say. Caller with the last four of 0097, have a seat at the table. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I would like to find out how do I obtain copies of your book, please?
My book is available on my website, www.stoppayingtithes.com, and it's $10.99. So I will gladly ship you out a copy if you go there and order.
Thank you very much.
Very good question. Thank you for calling, caller. We appreciate it. And let me say this. You know, one thing about the PRF table, we have to have an open space where people can get whatever it is. That caller that just called in, evidently something has been said, something she heard. God is working through that. God is speaking, and she wants to get more. Sister Adia, what you said was very, very key when you said, you know, pastors and leaders need to figure out how to reach the people. But let me tell you what I think. We probably just need to get past the point of just talking about pastors so much. The bottom line is, as somebody told me yesterday, somebody told me that their pastor told them, I'm the pastor. Well, guess what? That's their prerogative, but at the same time, people are still paying tithes like they're paying bills. So it's us. That's the reality. That's the reality that we're living in. It's us. If there's others that out there that want to be a part of this conversation, you know, so be it. But for right now, we have to do actually what we have to do and let God work from there, because that's what it's truly about. My sister, we're going to go and take a quick break real quick and let people get some water and get ready to wrap up the show in a few minutes. So let me try to pick one song that I think will be very, very inspirational to people, especially in what we're dealing with. It's called Ball and Chain. So we'll be right back. Damn,
up the world off my shoulder. Got me driving down a highway, trying to make it through each and every day. Pay the back end all poverty, take a truck and move my people down south with me. Bring my ball and chain and for a ticket on a one-way trip in the Georgia. Would you dare take it with you? Picture us whistling while fishing. Picture us dancing while romancing. To a tune that belongs to me and you. My balls and chains, we will all be free. Yeah.
You're listening to the PRF Table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. We have our other hosts, Sister Sanders and Brother Feaster, and a special guest this evening, Sister Paula Brooks from Atlanta, Georgia, who is the author of the book Stop Paying Tithes. And if you have just tuned in, you've missed a lot, so we will welcome you to go back and listen to the archives. And before we let our guest go, we just want to make sure we give her an opportunity to say some parting words and to also let people know how they can get in contact with her for speaking engagements, whatever God will have her do. So, Sister Brooks, can you just tell us what you have left for us? And we welcome you back next week. I know Malachi is a very big scripture that's near and dear to your heart. So we want you to come back next week, if you will, and let's unpack what Malachi has to say and what God has said to you in that, if you'll be willing to do that.
I'd be happy to. I want to thank you all for having me on tonight and welcoming me back on next week. I do have some interesting facts to share about the book of Malachi. But I want all of the listeners to know that God loves you. There is no obligation to tithe. I'm not appointed to tell anybody that they should or shouldn't tithe. I can only share with you what God shared with me about giving. So whether it be your tithe or your offering or a vow that you've made to God, He wants you to give it from your heart, and God is true to His word. I promise you all, I've experienced it, and I know that the blessings of God are abundant. So with that being said, I love you all. And I pray that God continues to open your hearts and minds to receive what his word truly says.
Yes.
Have a good night.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. And we're gonna if it's all right with you, Paula, we're gonna go ahead and post your website on our Facebook page, possession.resources.finances. We have several hundred people that are, you know, friends on our Facebook page. And we're going to really encourage people to get the book so we can have more conversation about it. You know, we can't do everything we need to do, and God sometimes can't do everything he wants us to do within an hour and a half. So we'll put that out there, and I'd like to put your email address out there if possible, too.
Thank you so much. I welcome that.
Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week, or we'll talk to you next week, all right?
Okay, blessings to each of you.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Brother Feaster.
Yeah.
are you breathing? Did you get your water, brother?
Man, I got my water. I done made me a smoothie, and I'm still fired up. I'm gonna be short with this one and quick this, because I don't even think I can get my words out. And I want to actually hit on something you said. We are really falling leaders on a lot of this, when in fact that's a cop out. Mm. Leaders. So a leader is responsible, you know, for the training. You know, the Bible tells if you're going to be a teacher, I mean, that's a serious thing that you want to do. But then the Bible also turns around and says that all you're getting, get an understanding. In other words, if I'm totally relying on the leader, that leader has now become my God. And that is not what God wanted. That's how cults are built. That's how misunderstanding, that's how cliques are built and sects inside the church and all that mess that's going on inside the church. Because we're going to listen to what you said and not what God said, and definitely not what the Bible is telling us, but yet we'll listen to what, you know, Pastor wants some money, but I ain't even going to do all that. But instead of going to research and find it for ourselves, I'm going to tell you what I just wrote on the Facebook page. I put on there, that's a simple question. Has God instituted anything, and I think I spelled instituted wrong, has God instituted anything that puts us in bondage? So how and why would tithing be a burden? And I really think that when it comes to tithing, we're missing, even if those that are giving of the 10% and faithfully giving of the 10%, if it is a burden, if God instituted nothing else that was burdensome, why is this a burden? Why? What's so special about tithing? When God does not need my money, what's so special about tithing that this must be the one burden that we place on the church? And I go back to Lazarus. God raised Lazarus from the dead, but God told the people, you remove those grave clothes, because they put those grave clothes on Lazarus. Lazarus, God said, I'm going to raise him from the dead. So he knew that he didn't have to worry about anything. They could have left Lazarus just lay right there in the bed until he got there. But they put the grave clothes on him, and God said, you take off what you put on. And that's where we stand right now. We have to take off what we put on, not just in tithing, but anything else we've said in church and we place on the congregation, we place on people. And that's why people don't want to come to church, because they got to wear three-piece suits and go buy some clothes to come to church. But you put all these burdens on people, and now they're running from God instead of running to God. It's so many areas and so many issues that we are falling short of and we're making mistakes on because we are putting burden. So if tithing is about relationship and if tithing is about stewardship, then before I am introduced to tithing, I should be introduced to the relationship. I should be introduced to stewardship, because you can't hold me accountable for something that I don't know. You can't. You can't. I'm stopping right there. I'm going to need somebody to hold my mute for the rest of the night.
you know, one of the things that I think is very, very interesting as we get ready to wrap it up for this evening is now we're starting to talk about the burden of tithing. And when I read Deuteronomy, when I read Acts chapter 2, giving was never burdensome to anybody because everybody had their needs being met based upon what everybody was doing for everybody else. So I think the title of tonight's show, Should You Stop Paying Tithes? I think it's a very good question, and if I had to answer, I'm not going to answer for everybody. I'm going to answer for myself. Yes, you should stop paying tithes. If you're paying tithes like you pay bills, if you're paying tithes out of obligation, if you're paying tithes because the beatdown scripture done beat you down so much, yes, you should stop paying tithes in the name of Jesus. My two cents, Adia. My two cents.
You know, I think with both of what you and Feaster said and also Paula, we got to go back to the word. It's just that simple. And the relationship part is so detrimental. I guess, you know, when I look at the pastors and our leaders, and when I say leaders, I mean those people not just in the leadership role, but those people who are leaders who have the ability to influence someone, I just think that we owe it to people to make sure that they have what they need. But I think what's also important, too, is the same way that we can go out there and learn how to get a payday loan, the same way that we can learn how to how to cook our favorite meal, it's the same way that we have to be with the Word of God. And that same persistence, perseverance, and tenacity that we take in everything else that we do in life, we need to do it the same way when it comes to God's Word. Because the Word tells that the people perish for the lack of knowledge. It didn't say the people perish because the leaders aren't teaching them, so now they have the lack of knowledge. It just says the people perish. So I just think that at some point in time, you know, I think Corliss said a couple of shows that there has to be a balance to where we're not always just blaming the pastors or the leaders, but we as those people, if we're hungry for something, it says if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we're going to be filled. So the same way that we can, you know, talk about our favorite TV shows, the same way that we can talk about, you know, where we're going for vacation, it's the same way that we need to talk about and be reading the Word of God. Because in I remember just in prayer, you know, the Lord told me, he said, the reason why my people are not growing is because they're not studying. And if we don't study the Word of God, I don't know how else we think we're going to know what it is that he's speaking to us. It's just like with our children. If we don't, if our children don't study, if they don't go to school, how can we expect for them to know anything? How can we expect to know anything if we don't study? And so we tend to think that because it's God, we'll say, oh, the Holy Spirit will come and just give us everything that we need. And then and it takes the responsibility off of us. But it is so untrue, and it is such a misconception, just the mindset. And I really liked when Paula touched on our attitude and the mindset that we have. That by a pastor saying repeatedly about paying your tithes, instead of saying we're going to give our tithes and we're going to give cheerfully, it changed her mindset, which then influenced her attitude. And I want to say that it penetrated her heart. And a lot of times that's probably what's happening to people, that our hearts are being penetrated with these words, and we can just begin to break down and harden our hearts to what we're hearing, because it doesn't make sense to us. But when we will allow ourselves to open ourselves up to what God is saying, what his word is saying, and not necessarily taking what's being said to us at face value, I think that we will find freedom, that we will be relinquished and released from that fear, and the mindset to give will make more sense to us as opposed to paying God something. I had posted on my Facebook page on yesterday, I was looking at some diamond rings. And a lot of people, you know, they'll talk about, oh, my ring is 2 carats or half a carat or 1/8 of a carat, whatever the case may be. And you see people talk about the clarity of the ring and the flaws or whatever. The more flawless the ring is, the more the value of that ring is. But even when you put that diamond up under a microscope and you turn the lever that magnetizes the diamond, you will still find a flaw. And so one of the things that we as Christians need to understand and get into our hearts and in our spirits, then we will see it in our behavior, is that we are like diamonds. God has given us everything that we've needed. Before we were formed in our parents' womb, He had a plan for us. And a lot of times those plans can get lost because we're looking at the flaws, we're looking at what we don't have. We're looking at what other people have in comparison to us, not knowing what they may have gone through to get it. But when you think about how that diamond was made, it took pressure, and it took millions of years for us to get the diamonds that we wear on our fingers and in our ears and around our necks. But even with that, the value, you can't put a value on something that you did not create. And so we cannot put a value on the money that God has given us through the jobs because we didn't make the job. We didn't even create ourselves. And so we put values on things. So when you use phrases like paying my tithe, you're putting a value on something that you could not go out there and necessarily get yourself without the resources or the tools if God didn't give it to you. And I think that it's so important that we just keep that in the forefront of our minds, that God has given us something that is very precious, something that cannot be replaced, something that a value or a price can never be put on. And he gave us his son, but he also put something on the inside of us, and we got to take that word. We got to take God's word, which is priceless, and begin to apply it to our lives. And I believe then when we see that God has blessed the blessings that he's given us and to know that he's blessing us every single day of our lives. And I just really think that this topic of stop paying tithes is needed. Because when we can stop paying our tithes, then we can truly receive the blessings that God has for us. I mean, it's just that simple. It really is, JR. It really is.
Amen. Thank you, cuz. Well, Brother Feaster?
I just want to read something that was posted on Facebook about last week's show, and I'm not going to call any of the names. I'm just going to read one question and two responses. The first question was the comment that we had or question that was answered, tithing is not just about money, but we struggle time to tithe and we cannot make ends meet. Do some of us do not go because we do not have money and feel embarrassed? First response was, no one should ever feel like they should go to church because of not having money or being embarrassed. This is the enemy and our flesh. It is definitely understandable why people should feel that way now. Second response was, we should never feel ashamed to enter God's presence if we do not have any money. God does not value you over money. Man has placed his stronghold over us. When we are in the position not to give money, understanding that this is not a blank check to spend freely and give God what's left, then we have other things we give in. In addition to the money, what else do we have? And I really think that I wanted to read that because I'm going to be quick. I want to read that because there's a problem when someone do not want to enter into worship, go to God's house because they don't have any money. Not that they don't have a gift, which is totally different, but they don't have any money. Thank you. I'm done, because if not, I'll be gone for another 10 minutes. Thank you. This has been a great show. I'm done.
I got you, bro. You know, sometimes I've been there. You just drop the mic and say, you know what, God, you said all you need to say. There's nothing else for us to say, so we're out. So let me just say this. On behalf of all of us at the PRF table, we thank you for spending your time with us on tonight. Come back in and hear what Paula has to say next week, what God has communicated to her. We'll be back at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. Go on the Facebook page. Please like us. The Facebook page is possessions.resources.finances. After the show is over and all throughout the week, come in and join and share the page with others, and let's just continue the conversation because it is definitely needed. So with that, we love you, we thank you, and God bless you and have a wonderful night.
God help me, but we say,